Hey there, welcome to my brand new podcast. This is Linguistics with Laura. I'm starting this podcast series to give anyone who's interested in learning more about linguistics the chance to do so. I'm super passionate about language, and if you talk to any of my friends, they can attest to this, that I never stop talking about language. So I figured, what better way to go off on tangents about linguistics than making a podcast? I'm excited, I hope you're excited, it's gonna be great. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what linguistics is and how language makes us humans pretty special. Let's get right into it. First of all, sometimes when I mention that I'm a linguistics minor to someone, they have no idea what I just said, or they might think that I just sneezed in the middle of my sentence. So let's talk about what people mean when they talk about linguistics. The study of linguistics is defined simply as the study of language and its structure. This involves sub-branches like morphology, syntax, phonology, semantics, phonetics, spaghetti, photosynthesis, no, I'm just kidding, but the list goes on, and we'll get into those a bit later. In my opinion, language is one of the most fascinating subjects there is. We use it every day, all the time, even in our heads when we're not talking to anybody but ourselves. I mean, that's of course assuming you talk to yourself like I do. But anyway, you might have heard of the famous linguist Noam Chomsky, who talked about the idea of universal grammar. So what is that? Well, universal grammar is the idea that every single language that has been spoken on this entire earth shares elements with other languages. This demonstrates that humans have this special innate ability to understand and follow a set of linguistic rules. Humans are capable of formulating language by nature rather than environment. In other words, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to biology. It's no coincidence that thousands of languages have come into existence that are extremely different from one another, yet have many things in common, like word order, vocabulary, grammar, and cultural influence. Noam Chomsky also talked about a concept called generative linguistics. What this means is that a person can create an infinite array of sentences based on any thought they may have or event that might occur. Basically, if you've ever said or heard a really odd, specific sentence that left you thinking to yourself, I never thought I would hear a sentence so strange in my life, that's kind of what generative linguistics is talking about. For instance, I could say a sentence like, that disgusting pasta is the reason Maya's husband filed for divorce. Now, I probably have never said that sentence in my entire life, and you probably haven't either, but that doesn't mean we both can't understand what it means and say it again in a slightly different way if we wanted to. This is an extremely unique feature to the human species. No other species on this earth can use the power of language the way that humans can. You might disagree with this statement at first. You might be thinking about that parrot you once had who could repeat the phrase you said to it, like, time for dinner. But what you might not realize is that parrot does not possess the human ability to structure a sentence that makes it grammatical. For example, a parrot couldn't just spit out, when are we going to have dinner, or what am I eating for dinner tonight? The parrot can only imitate sentences you may say to it, but cannot generate independent sentences by itself. American linguist Charles Hockett came up with a set of terms for the different features of language and communication. Many animals use some of these design features of language, but the key comes down to four unique characteristics that linguistically set humans apart from other species. The first is this concept of linguistic productivity, which states that humans can create and understand an unlimited amount of utterances, pretty similar to Chomsky's idea of generative linguistics. We can make up any, and I literally mean any, sentence. It can make zero sense, but still have grammaticality, and thus, it's a sentence. The second feature is something called displacement, which means that humans can talk about things that are not physically present, or things that don't even exist. Without this feature of language, we couldn't create sentences about unicorns, because, as far as we know, they just don't exist. Without displacement, J.K. Rowling could never have written books about magic with giants and dragons and horcruxes, and obviously you can tell that another one of my dorky passions is Harry Potter. If you've taken a foreign language like Spanish, you'll know what the subjunctive tense is, and you'll know that it's used to talk about all the hypothetical as opposed to the real here and now. No other species besides humans can do this. Animals may be able to warn of an incoming attack, but They can't communicate that they think an attack may be coming the next day, or they can't talk about an attack that happened 2 weeks ago. If it weren't for the design feature of displacement, there's no way you could have a gossip sesh at the hairdresser, or talk about your dreams for the future, or contemplate your purpose in life. In my opinion, this is one of the most important features of human language that, honestly, gets kind of overlooked. The third design feature unique to humans is what's called cultural transmission, or the fact that humans are born with the innate ability to acquire and learn language. You might think that we are born with the ability to speak language, but that's not quite the case, almost. The fact is that humans are born with the ability to learn or acquire language like an internal blueprint in your brain that allows you to learn how to communicate. When you were a baby, I'm pretty sure you didn't have the ability to have an intellectual discussion about politics with your friends and family. And yikes, I mean, maybe you still don't have that ability. But the reason you couldn't do it when you were a baby was because you were in the very early stages of acquiring language. Not learning a language, though, which is different, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Acquiring language is when you are immersed in the target language and pick up its rules, vocabulary, expressions, and eventually just sort of find yourself fluent in the language. Learning a language, on the other hand, is when you start taking Spanish lessons in 8th grade and try to memorize the conjugations for the preterite tense. Finally, the last design feature unique to humans is something called duality of patterning, or discreteness. What this means is that meaningful units in language are made up of smaller, meaningless units. So let's look at a word like chalk, and honestly, this was the first word that popped into my head. Anyway, chalk. This word can't be broken down any further into a unit of meaning. Because of this, we can classify chalk as a morpheme, the smallest unit of meaning in a language. If you take away the k at the end of the word chalk, you get cha, and that doesn't mean anything. Similarly, if you take away the ch, you get awk, which also doesn't mean anything. But when we put all the speech sounds that make up the word chalk together, we get a nice whole word that signifies this white porous rock composed of the mineral calcite used to teach on blackboards and draw on sidewalks, and I'm going to pretend I didn't look that up on Wikipedia to make it sound professional. But we'll talk about morphology or word structure next time. If you want to learn more about the full list of Hockett's design features of language, there are lots of online resources that detail what he described as the characteristics fundamental to language. I hope this first episode gave you a nice overview about what linguistics is, and how we humans have the remarkable ability to communicate with each other, just like we're doing right now. By the way, the fact that we can use language to talk about language illustrates another linguistic concept called reflexiveness. It's essentially languageception. But, you know, I could go on all day. Tune in next time to where I'll tell you all about morphology. Until then, keep using your language. But I don't have to tell you to do that because you're already doing it by listening to me right now. See you next time.